We are joined now by Chris Doering, covers the Florida Gators, part of the Sports Fix down there in Gainesville. Chris, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, good, good. All right, so Arkansas plays dirty football, I guess, right?
Is that the word?
Well, that's the word.
I hadn't heard that word. Is that I hadn't heard that that was the word out there amongst the street. Who said that? Florida said that?
Damian Jacobs, you want me to play you a little soundbite?
Yeah, let me hear it. Is okay. That from the press conference this afternoon?
Here you go.
Physical. They're real physical, and I think they're a little chippy. They're a little dirty, so we're gonna have to be ready for it all this week. I just see from film a lot of stuff after the play, especially with the center number 64. He'll get after you after the play. He'll make you want to do some things to him. So, and we're going to have to try to keep our temper and keep cool on that. Just hit him in the mouth first. Just keep hitting him until he quit.
Forgive me. I'm on the air from 7 to 9 in the morning this time, man. So I hadn't listened to the press conference today, but that is an interesting soundbite. As I don't know if I've ever heard players call other people out by what they've seen on film. Sometimes you hear people call each other out after they play, but calling out by something you watch on film, that's unique. That's a new one to me.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of unique, too.
You don't want your team giving any bulletin board material, I guess, especially if the O-line, they play to the whistle, or maybe offensive linemen have a tendency, maybe just a half second after the whistle as well. And Chris, thanks for joining us. I did want to ask you a little bit about Murphy, and if you could kind of tell us kind of the differences between his game and what Driscoll was doing. If Driscoll was hurt, earlier on, it just never seemed to me that, and you get to see this more, but Driscoll was not taking that next step. And maybe he was, but what is the difference, and is it an upgrade or a downgrade with Murphy from Driscoll?
Well, first of all, I want to let you guys know how appreciative I am of a guy, and Matt, I think you can appreciate this as well, as a guy that hangs in there in this day and age. If you're not named the starting quarterback as a freshman, guys have a tendency to want to transfer elsewhere and pout and not compete. But I love the mindset with which Tyler Murphy decided to stay here on campus. He liked being a Gator. He's a fourth-year junior at this point in time. And he, unlike some of these other guys that you see nowadays being recruited, stuck in there. He competed even though he was a third-string quarterback last year. He moved up to second this year and really let things play themselves out and has now found himself in the starting position here at the University of Florida. So I think fans really appreciate that about him. I think, secondly, he's done a lot of preparation. We talk about mental reps when you're not out there on the field playing, but I think he's used his time on the sideline in a valuable way that's helped him grow as a quarterback. And when his number was called against Tennessee, when Driscoll went down the other day, he stepped in and brought Florida back from a 7-point deficit and really excited the fan base. And I think made fans and players and coaches much more confident than maybe they were heading into the season, thinking, if something happened to Jeff Driscoll, it could be a nightmare. But I think you also pointed out Jeff Driscoll was less than 100%. After that Miami game, he had there were reports of a knee injury. Some people said he had a tear in his knee. Some people said it was a sprain. But nonetheless, he was not as mobile as maybe what he had been before. This is a guy that, I think a lot of Gator fans thought he was still a young quarterback. But Jeff Driscoll was, in fact, a junior. He had played, exclusively the season before. And I think the frustration came in to where you didn't see a lot of growth in terms of what he was all about from last season to this season. Obviously, it was early in the year, and you hadn't had a chance to get into conference play much. But, I think Florida fans are looking for an offense that is, unfortunately, much more reminiscent to the days when I was there back in the 90s. We were scoring 50 points a game, and fans loved winning that way. But the thing they have to realize about Florida these days is it's a defensive-dominated game. They're going to play field position. They're going to play great special teams. And they're going to do enough on offense and running the ball and some play-action passes to help them win, but they're not going to put their defense in a bad situation by throwing it all over the field and being careless with the ball. I think one of the things that helped Florida get to that 11-1 regular season record last year was the fact that they were +4 in the turnover margin and did a good job of protecting the ball, as opposed to what they did against Miami when they turned it over 5 times and went down in the red zone 3 different times and didn't score. And, that's a recipe for how you beat a Will Muschamp team. So I think with Tyler Murphy, fans see a guy that is much more protective with the football. He's added some running dimensions that haven't been there early in the season due to Jeff Driscoll's limitations on his knee. And you know, the fans are really excited about what Murphy brings to the table.
Chris, let me ask you this. When you first heard of Brett Bielema taking over the Arkansas program, what was your reaction?
Sounded like a fish out of water to me. You know, you think about a Wisconsin coach coming down into the South here, it seemed like something that maybe was not a good match. Also, you know, I know, having done a couple Arkansas games for TV the last few years, that fans enjoyed the Bobby Petrino style of football, throwing it all over the yard, and that had become exciting, and maybe getting into a different style of play, more apt to what the Big Ten has been running, may not necessarily seem like an appealing option to some fans. But, you know, obviously he's done a good job there in creating excitement. I'm excited about his wife. Every time I see his wife, she makes me excited, you know, with all her comments. She's a good-looking girl, too. So I think they've done a good job of fitting in with the boys down here in the South.
It's kind of real similar to what you're talking about, to the Spurrier days, to what Muschamp's doing. It's mm-hmm. the same thing with Petrino, would throw it all over the yard. It's a different style of game. It takes a little bit to kind of get your players in. But I did want to ask you about, is it more just really the game plan? Are there any problems on the offense? Is it the offensive line? Is it your outside skill players? Because we know you have some good running backs. Or is it more like that is the strength of this offense, so we are going to run the ball? What do you think kind of the weakness, I guess, what they need to work on to improve to be able to score more points?
You know, it's kind of funny, and Matt, again, I think you can appreciate this, in that you never really know what goes on behind the practice field walls. You know, I mean, is Florida's offense so conservative because that's the way Will Muschamp really wants to be, or does he have to be conservative because he thinks he's deficient at certain positions? Now, obviously, the wide receiving core has not been all that productive the last few years. There has been some improvement this year, but still, you don't really have that deep threat to take the top off the coverage. You know, you don't have an offensive line that's played as consistently as you would have liked last year and into this year. I mean, that was supposed to be a strength of the team this season, but John Jalapio had a pectoral muscle issue and missed a couple games early in the year. You've had some guys that have gotten nicked up as well and found themselves, you know, putting in some backup players across that line. But, you know, that was a little disappointing to not see the offensive line dominate the line of scrimmage the way they did last year early in the season. Running back-wise, Matt Jones, same name here, Matt Jones, for the Florida Gators, had a great end of the season last year. They were really looking forward to what he was going to bring with a downhill punishing style of running. But they just he had a virus that kept him out early in the preseason, missed all of the preseason camp, missed the first couple games, and then came back and really didn't look like himself in the first couple games that he played in. But had a breakout game against Kentucky. He outgained the entire Kentucky Wildcat team himself on the ground. So things are starting to look a little bit better. But I do think that there still are some question marks on the outside at the receiver position. And, you know, if I was trying to stop Florida, I'd load the boxes, try to get as many people down there to run support, see if you can't force Murphy to beat you on the outside and make some of those receivers try to get open in one-on-one coverage.
I think both teams, and Coach Bielema even said it, this could be the fastest game of the year. I think both teams are really going to try to run the ball and not getting those third and long situations, but third and manageable. And before we get back to some football, I want to ask you about how was it with Coach Spurrier. And I got to play with Fred Taylor at Jacksonville, and he told me a couple funny Spurrier stories. Do you have a funny Spurrier story? And you got to play, I believe, with the Redskins with Spurrier as well?
Yeah, I was up there in Washington in his first year in the NFL. And, I love Coach Spurrier. I was a walk-on originally. I was given a scholarship, given an opportunity to play, given an opportunity to thrive in his offense. And the thing I like about Coach Spurrier is that he didn't really care whether or not you were a scholarship guy or a walk-on or whatever. He wanted guys to play the way they were coached, guys to do the things that they were asked to do, and take advantage of opportunities when they're in the football game. And so I owe a lot. I owe tons to Coach Spurrier for both the opportunity he gave me here in Florida and then revitalizing my career in the NFL after tearing my Achilles tendon there. So, I think that everybody has a Spurrier impression. Everybody loves doing the Spurrier voice. Everybody, you tend to maybe dislike him if he's not on your sideline. But, I really like when he was here in Florida, the teams, the fan base, everybody kind of took on that same persona. You know, had a little bit of cockiness, had a little bit of swagger. And when I was here, we knew we were going to step on the field and win every time we lined up. And, you know, I think that that's something that that the fan base is missing here as well, is a little bit of that that Spurrier swagger that that he took to South Carolina with him.
Chris Doering of the Sports Fix out of Gainesville joins us here on Overtime. Chris, what is it about a night game in the Swamp that, I mean, we hear Arkansas fans hear about night games in Tiger Stadium, I guess, because every other year it's a game that Arkansas is looking at is playing LSU. Obviously not a night game because of the day after Thanksgiving, but we hear a lot about night games in Tiger Stadium. Now we're hearing about night games in the Swamp. They are far and few between. The last time Florida played one was against Florida State, until this Saturday, 7 o'clock Eastern time, when the Razorbacks step into the Swamp.
Well, it's all about Jack Daniels, really. I mean, you know, the kids out in the tailgating areas getting lubed up.
Captain Morgan and Jose Cuervo.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a fun environment. I tell you what, and Matt, you probably experienced this as well. You don't really realize how much fun everybody else is having until you've come back and retired and attend a game as a fan, because the tailgating is certainly a good time. But, when I was here, we didn't play many games at night. I think we may have played one night game against Georgia here when the series was moved from Jacksonville to home and home while they were redoing the stadium in Jacksonville. But, you know, it has become one of those things, like you said, it's few and far between. I don't think we've played one in the last two seasons or so, but it has now become something that fans really love to have the opportunity to experience. You get a full day of tailgating and something about turning those lights on in the Swamp and having everybody as juiced up as they are, that really, you know, puts together an electric feel to the stadium.
Yeah, that's pretty right. And want to kind of ask, with society nowadays, with social media, coaches just don't stay at schools as long as they did, you know, 20, 30 years ago. How is the atmosphere? How's the feeling down there with Coach Muschamp, with the, you know, the BCS loss last year and like you said, 11 wins? It's a great season,
yeah.
But you know how Florida and how the fans, what Urban Meyer was able to do there, and then he steps in. Is there any truth as far as would he be looking at the Texas job, or is the support still with him as he's the guy?
You know, I can't imagine that he would leave here to go anywhere else. Will Muschamp's a guy that grew up in Gainesville originally. I mean, he's a year older than me, has a bunch of same friends that I do, and really really relishes the opportunity to be back in a place that he has so many great memories. He references a lot of the players from when I was a kid as well. Talks about Chris Collinsworth and Tyrone Young and Tony Lilly and some of those great players that impacted him as he was growing up. And so I think he really enjoys being the head coach of this program. I think he played in the SEC, played at Georgia, coached in the SEC. Unlike Urban Meyer, he really has a feel for what it means to be the head coach here at Florida, and knows what it means to play and coach in the SEC. So I really believe that he's going to be here for the long term. The one thing that does scare me, though, is I think there is a lack of appreciation by Gator fans for what he's been able to do. I mean, you know, Florida won 11 games in year number two of the Will Muschamp era, but yet, you know, they were not quite satisfied because it was not the aesthetically pleasing style of play,
right,
that they became used to back in the 90s. And, I hope people realize that he's building a similar type program to what Nick Saban has built at Alabama. You know, they've really built the offensive and defensive lines to try to win on the line of scrimmage. They want to run the ball downhill. They want to play great defense. And, that may not be the most exciting style of football, but when you're hoisting, you know, three trophies out of 4 years the way Alabama did, there's something special to be said about that. So, you know, I think that Florida fans realize that they have a pretty good up-and-coming coach here, but there's always going to be those outspoken outliers that maybe, you know, don't like the fact that it's not being done a certain way. But in the end, I expect him to be here for a long time. He may have done himself a little bit of a disservice by winning 11 games in the second year. I think they probably overachieved a little bit last year, and that
right,
set the bar pretty high for this season. But all in all, I think we're very lucky to have Will Muschamp as our head coach.
Yeah, it makes me laugh, too, when you hear the media talk about Mark Richt at Georgia. You know, is he on the hot seat? I'm like, look at this guy, what he does year in,
yeah,
year out. But one more quick question I wanted to get to was your D-tackle, Dominic easily. Now, he's out for the year. Does that hurt? You know the D linemen, they seem to rotate more than any other position as far as your groups and your subs, but does that hurt? And who do you look for to replace him on that defensive line?
It definitely hurts. I mean, this is a guy that is a very experienced player. He's one of the guys, you know how it is. You can basically check off that he's going to do his duty. So now you're only worried about 10 guys on your defense,
right?
Because he's so experienced and so dominant at his spot there. But if there is anything to be said, it is that Florida has a very deep defensive line. You know, you got a bunch of different guys that have had valuable playing time. Will it hurt? Of course it will, because he's such a dominant force in there. But, I think that there's been a lot of other guys, whether you're talking about Jonathan Bullard or Dante Fowler and some of those other young guys that have really developed into players of their own, that I don't think the drop-off is going to be all that significant.
Chris, two other questions for you here, and the answer cannot be score more points. Florida wins the game Saturday if they do what?
Florida wins the game on Saturday if they protect the football. I think Florida still is probably ahead of where Arkansas wants to get. So I think that this is Florida's game to win. As long as they don't shoot themselves in the foot, they should be able to come out at home with a victory. I mean, this is the best defense in the Southeastern Conference. I really don't imagine Arkansas is going to be able to score a ton of points. And, I think Florida is very opportunistic on defense. I wouldn't be surprised to see Florida score some points defensively or in the special teams. And then offensively, I think Florida wants to pound the football. So, I think that protecting the ball, not turning it over, not giving short field opportunities to Arkansas's offense will lead to a Florida victory.
Yeah, I agree with him as far as – I think you're eighth in points against right now in all of football, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fairly impressive number to roll out there. And it's kind of weird in the conference now where all of a sudden – nobody plays defense anymore. I think that's a distinct advantage. I mean, you'd love to be able to score points, but on the flip side, if you can keep the other team from scoring, it lets you be in about every ball game you're going to play.
Right.
I hope Arkansas fans hear that.
Yeah, I mean, something to be said for that, right? I mean,
it's kind of the same style what Coach Bielema is trying to do as well. I mean, real similar.
Well, yeah. they go from a coach that wanted to try and
throw it all over the yard and score 48
to a coach now that wants to try and play defense and not let the opponent score.
Right.
No, I think that's kind of the proven blueprint for success. You know, like I said, Tuscaloosa has a lot of recent championships they've taken back there, and with that same exact that blueprint.
Chris, we appreciate your time. One more quick question for you, and it just slipped my mind. I had one for you, and it just slipped my mind.
That's all right.
Sorry about that.
No problem, man. Happy to be on with you guys anytime. If you think of it, let me know. I'll answer it next time, man.
Well, yeah, I'll see you down there Saturday. You going to be at the game?
No, I'm actually doing Missouri and Vanderbilt this weekend, so I'll be up in Nashville for that game.
Oh.
Beautiful place. Go to Virago's, little sushi spot right there.
I love Nashville. Nashville's a good time, man.
It is a good town. Chris, thanks so much.
All right, guys. Take care.